Welcome to the Jensen Journal Podcast with your host and father of the clan, Rick Jensen. The Jensen Journal Podcast was created so that you can get to know your relatives just a little bit better. And now, we invite you to sit back, learn, listen, and love as we begin this episode of the Jensen Journal Podcast. Thank you for joining us on the Jensen Journal Podcast today. We have a special guest, Elder Jared Jensen, who is currently serving in Chicago, Illinois Mission. Elder Jensen, welcome to our show.
Thanks a lot. It's truly a pleasure to be here on the Jensen Journal Podcast. I'm really excited and really grateful for this opportunity.
Great. We have so many questions to ask you, and I'm sure you're just booming with information. First of all, we want to get as much detail as we possibly can from you. So how about we start out this segment by you telling us what your daily routine would be in the life of a missionary?
My daily routine is to wake up at 6:30 a.m. to exercise, and then to get ready for the day and to study the scriptures for 2 hours, and then to go out to find the elect that God has prepared and teach them the principles of salvation so that they can return to their Father in heaven.
Awesome. That is just absolutely awesome. What's your favorite exercise routine that you do?
If it is not winter time, I enjoy running outside. But if it is winter time, I usually just do jump ropes and a series of cardiovascular workouts and weight workouts.
Great. I've heard that missionaries gain a lot of weight on their mission. What's your current weight?
My current weight is 175 pounds.
And how much did you weigh before you left?
155 pounds.
Oh my goodness. Would you say that the excess amount of weight is from all of the meals that you're being fed, or is it from all the working out?
I honestly have no idea because my body looks the exact same.
Maybe you're turning into a man.
I think you're right, Rick. I think that's the case.
You can call me Dad. This is the Jensen Journal.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Now, you mentioned that you do 2 hours of study time. Go into detail on that. What exactly are you studying? How does that work?
So we study, pretty much our focus is studying the Book of Mormon and then Preach My Gospel, which is a guide for missionaries. And then usually also we focus on general conference talks because the words of living prophets are very beneficial for us in our day.
Right. Have you used that study in your teaching then, the teachings of current prophets?
Well, the reason I enjoy studying the general conference talks is actually because the general authorities really have a map of scriptures in their talks. And so as I read their talks, I become a lot more knowledgeable on the scriptures, including the Bible, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, all of them. It becomes a giant map, and it helps me memorize scriptures and know scriptures to use as I teach people. So I would consider it very beneficial.
Interesting. Who would you say, out of the prophets, who would you say would be your favorite mapper, if you would?
I would say Robert D. Hales. He spits out references to the scriptures like a dragon spits out fire.
Really?
And so I really love his talks. I also love President Nelson. Of course, because he's the prophet, but he has a lot of scripture references as well. My favorite speakers are generally the ones who use the most scripture references.
Interesting. That's fascinating. So tell me about how your scripture study has changed since you've been on your mission compared to before you left. What would you say? How's that helped you? Because, you know, people say, oh, you know, I've changed on my mission, but they never go into detail on how they changed. So now you're currently serving. Tell me how your scripture study has changed the way you study.
I have definitely seen a change in the way I study. Before my mission, it was usually just to get it in, you know, to fulfill seminary requirements. I usually wasn't really searching for a specific thing. It was usually just, oh, okay, read the Book of Mormon 10 minutes a day. And, okay, Nephi built a boat. And then, oh, Isaiah, you know, and then it's like, okay, try to keep pushing through that. But now it's like, okay, all these cross references, and I'm searching for something. I'm searching for an answer, or maybe a person that I'm teaching. to one of their questions. I'm searching for a way to improve my missionary skills based on the words of the prophets in the past. I'm searching on a way to have a greater abundance of the Spirit in my teaching and in my missionary work. So it's very beneficial.
How do you teach that skill to your people who are seeking truth?
How do I teach them to study?
Or do you? Is that part of your curriculum?
Absolutely. Yeah, we really encourage trying to help the people we're teaching them to study. I've seen that the best way to do it is usually to leave them with some sort of homework, whether it be like something I really love to do is read the first chapter of the Book of Mormon with people, and usually we ask a lot of questions as we read it with them, and to gain their understanding of the chapter. And then at the very end, when we leave them with a cliffhanger on whether or not Lehi, the prophet, will be killed or if he will escape. And that usually motivates people to read chapter two on their own.
Fascinating. Now, you've mentioned right now you're in what area are you serving in?
I am currently in the Hyde Park Ward, serving in a section of the city called Englewood, Chicago.
Right. And from your letters, it sounds like you've seen quite a bit of success there. Tell me, what do you think has brought on the success? What have you found that helps the people to be ready or to get them ready? How do you do that?
So the south side of Chicago is probably the ripest place in the mission. And the reason is because not only do we have a phenomenal ward mission leader who is really, really bright and intelligent and knows how to make the church extremely appealing and helps people want to come to the church for reasons other than just feeling the Spirit. Obviously, we have to get them to feel the Spirit before they come. But there's a lot of this ward is a very powerful ward. And we've been able to see that a lot of success from the Nigerian community. And so there has been several recent converts in the past year. I think about 80 recent converts of the past year in this ward alone. And it has been because of these Nigerian people who are humble and teachable and who are looking for something new in their lives. And that's been very beneficial.
What do you think has caused that desire?
The Nigerian people. Well, I think first off, when they come to America, they need somebody. They don't have any friends, and the only person they have to rely on is their God. They often pray, I know, to find success here and are looking for everywhere. But as soon as the missionaries come, and something that we found is really effective is we speak their language. And as soon as they see a white person speaking their language, which this is something they've never seen before, and they're shocked. And they want to know more about this church in which their culture is so loved. And when they come to the church, they see the diversity and they see the love that the people have for Jesus Christ. And they can tell that it's a church led by Jesus Christ. It's different. It's not a church that has focus for their money because they don't have much money to offer, but it wants their personality. It wants them. And so they like that. And then they get a spiritual witness from the Book of Mormon that what we're teaching is true. And it just draws them all in.
You mentioned that you speak their language, but you were not called to Chicago to serve the Nigerian people. And so you never went to the MTC to learn their language. So what do you mean by speak their language?
So it's actually pretty cool. When I first came to this area, the missionary who I was with knew how to just say simply hello in their language. And that actually is an amazing influencer, just being able to how to say hello. But as we were together, we often asked people certain phrases or certain words, and we ended up writing them all down. Now I have this massive list of phrases in their language, and every time we have the opportunity to use them, we do, and it just blows them away. The more that they love it so much, it draws them in. Like they seriously. They're just so shocked. And so they really like it.
I bet. Can you give me an example of some of those phrases?
Sure. So in church the other day, and this was actually a really funny experience, in church the other day, we had a class for the recent converts and the investigators. And they asked us all to say our name and something that we want to do better this year. because it's the beginning of the year. And so when it came to me, I said, Orukomi Alagba Jensen, which means my name is Pastor Jensen. And I said, my New Year's goal is to eat more jollof rice and baked chicken, which is one of their favorite dishes. And that almost caused a riot. These people were like clapping in Sunday school and freaking out. And it was super funny. And afterwards, they come to me and they're, Alagba Jensen. Ah, Bawoni, Alagba Jensen. Ekasona, Kuisimi. You know, they're saying like, good afternoon, happy Sunday. You know, and I just say, Dadani Shelafiani, which means like, are you okay? And they say, ah, Mowakba, which means like, I'm fine. And so, yeah, they absolutely love it.
Wow, that's neat. That's great. Now, you recently just received word that you're going to be transferred to a different area in Chicago. Tell me what your thoughts are about the transfer. Tell me what your thoughts are about leaving the area you're currently in because you've been serving there for quite some time.
Yeah, this is the longest I've ever stayed in one area. I've grown to love this place a lot. I've seen so much success, and I've had a lot of people enter into the church here and make covenants with God. And so it's really sad to leave them all, but as I've been here a long time, I am ready for something new. The difference, so I'm actually going to the north side of Chicago, and there's a major difference between the north side and the south side. The South Side is kind of infamous because it definitely has like tons of people dying left and right, tons of shootings. The entire population is African American, pretty much. And people just think it's like, oh, it's that place. You serve in there, you're crazy. You go down there. And it's just very humble. But the North Side is pretty wealthy. I mean, it's more wealthy for the city. A lot of parts of it are really hipster, very liberal community. There's a lot of gay people there, no doubt. But it's a little more wealthy, but you still find these pockets of random cultures there, like it's a melting pot. And so, although it's going to be a little different, it's going to be really fun nonetheless. And I know I'm really going to enjoy it there as well. Just being able to serve in the city is a very wonderful experience, because it's a different style of missionary work. You don't really, you know, a lot of missionaries think that the work is simply just attracting, but it's really more than that. Something that we saw on the South Side is that if we find one Nigerian, we find more. And so we got to know all of their friends, and we actually worked in one building all day, and I've been in that building for the past 7.5 months.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's just a giant network of people. And so I think if I can take that to the north side, even though it's a little more wealthy, it's really amazing to see that even just any person knows more people. And as you get to know their friends, you get more people in your teaching pool. And you don't really spend a whole lot of time just contacting anymore outside, because you're teaching all the time. And that's really the best way of finding is through your teaching.
Right.
And so it's going to be a little different, but because at first we're actually opening the area. So at first all we'll be doing is contacting, but as time goes on, we'll try to get to know their friends and family and find the people who are elect that way.
Right. It sounds like you're pretty motivated. Can you tell me, as a missionary, what is it that you have found that motivates you about the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I think my motivation is to see the change that people have after they're baptized. A lot of people before, and especially in this ward that I've been serving in now, a lot of people before come with nothing, and afterwards they have so much. And even though they don't have a lot of temporal things, that you can see the difference that has been changed in their life spiritually. Not only do they have more friends, and like a church home and a church family, but they have like a different look in their eyes, and they're more excited to have you come by and study with them. They're more excited to read the scriptures, although they're still super busy. They're more motivated, and as you see that change, you know it's because they've learned how to repent. They've learned how to access the atonement of Jesus Christ in their lives, and after you see that, it just makes you want to go do it again and again and again. And it never stops. It never stops. I mean, as soon as there's one baptism, you just are really striving to get another. It's like a sprint. It never stops. So it's pretty amazing.
How do you feel like seeing people change and making covenants has impacted you?
Well, it helps me know that the gospel is true, for sure. Especially to see families make covenants. For me, it helps me know that the most important thing and the thing that brings the most happiness in life is a strong family. And teaching that lets me know that God really does care a lot about families. That we're all one big family, first off. We're his children. And he wants us to be in families. As we can see the effect that the gospel has on families, it helps us know that what our ultimate goal is to have our family be together forever with God and the celestial kingdom. And so it's had that effect on me that's my greatest desire.
Thank you for sharing that. There's a lot of youth who are trying to prepare for missions. They want to go serve a mission. What would you tell them is the thing that would help them become the most useful in the mission field? Where should they point their focus toward? What should they be doing?
There's a lot of things that they could do to prepare. I remember when I was a youth preparing for mission, I thought, you know what? It's literally going to be 2 years long. I can literally do all the preparing I need to while I am out on the mission. But something I would say that would be very beneficial, a lot of people will say to read, preach my gospel before. I think that's useful. But I think something that would be very, very beneficial is to learn how to get out of your comfort zone even before your mission. Just talk to more people. Don't
Really?
even have to share the gospel with them, but just make friends, make new friends. Learn how to talk with people. Learn how to be a people person. There's a major difference between missionaries who know how to talk to people and missionaries who don't. And the ones who do have so much more success. I'm not saying that the ones who don't are less valued or anything, but it's just that ability to talk to people is a major game changer on a mission.
How would you recommend that they go about learning that skill?
Getting involved as much as they can in school, making new friends wherever they go. I know for me, one of the things that was actually really interesting is just in high school I worked at a Little Caesars, and I never knew I would end up being friends with a ton of like people from the Hispanic community, but I ended up being friends with a lot of people from the Hispanic community because they worked with me at Little Caesars. And so without getting involved in that job, I would have lost out on so many missed op I would have had so many missed opportunities with these friends. And so just filling their time with things that are useful in their lives, things that will prepare them, participating in sports, participating in student council, whatever it be, just making sure they're using their time and not being slothful, not wasting it, just sleeping in and sitting on their phones all day. That's a problem with this generation is people are more attached to their screens than their actual relationships with other people.
And you've seen that. Answer me this question. I've heard people say before when they get their mission call that there was a reason for them to be called to that particular place. You've been called to Chicago. Do you feel like you found your reason?
I mean, I have taught people who I think are, who are amazing, but it's almost like as weird as it sounds, I'd almost compare it to marriage. I've heard people say like, "Oh, there was somebody out there who's made for me." Well, I don't necessarily believe that. You don't need a specific person, but you need someone of the opposite gender to help you live with God again. That's just kind of the doctrine. And so in this way, I don't think that there was anybody specific who I was supposed to teach, but I think that my personality was definitely able to fit to their needs. But if I wasn't to come on a mission, I'm sure those people still could have been taught and baptized either way. So
But why
that's what I would say.
Chicago? Do you feel like that you could have gone anywhere then and been successful?
I do feel like Chicago was the place for me. I do feel like I love being around a lot of people, actually. And I don't think I could ever live here, but when you're doing something like missionary work, the first source of action is to find where the people are. And in Chicago, there are a lot of people, and each person knows more people. And so the place where you can find the more people is the place I want to be at. And so that's why I think for Chicago, I think it was a place made for me, a place where I could ride my bike through the city and just love life and talk to everybody. It's super awesome.
That's great. Tell me about companionship relationships, because I know that there's some youth who might be nervous about that, being with somebody for 24 hours a day. And tell me about your companionship relationship, how that's helped you become what you've become. And when I say companionship relationship, I'm not talking about just one, but you've had lots of companions already. So tell me about what they've taught you, how that's helped you to become the missionary you are today.
I would say I have pretty much loved all my companions. No doubt some of them had different skills than others, and some of them were better at talking to people than others, but I'd say the ones that have been my favorite have definitely been the ones that they would have been the type of person I would have hung out with in high school. The people that I would have just clicked with, and you just have a lot of fun together. You're participating in the best work that on this planet, and sometimes you experience disappointments together, but you're there to lift each other up when that happens, and even there to complain together sometimes, like, oh man, that person just canceled again. You have another person on your side to agree with you on that, but it just makes the work so much better. It makes you so much spiritually stronger as well. With your companion, it almost prepares you for marriage. You can see several things where it's like, oh, I know that it was not meet for man to be alone, and so I have someone here to hold me accountable all the time. And so it kind of prepares you for that. But yeah, I've loved my companions. I've had an enjoyable time with them. Being with somebody 24 hours a day, that actually wasn't that weird for me. That wasn't a weird adjustment. I wasn't really alone that much anyways in my family because I have a huge family, so it wasn't that hard.
Do you feel like being with a companion is beneficial for you mentally because you have someone to be accountable to? Do you like that, being accountable to someone, or do you think I'd rather just be accountable to me? I mean, does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think I like it better. I like having another person. Honestly, being alone is kind of the worst. Now, maybe I'm just saying that because I've been out about a year and a half and had a companion for a while now, but I think I would definitely prefer having a companion to keep me accountable. So help me to become a better person.
So you've been out for a year and a half. You've learned so many lessons. I would be interested to know what lessons you have learned so far and what lessons you are hoping to learn in the next little while that you have left.
What lessons I've learned as far as missionary skills go is this is something that I found really unique. We had an activity where a general authority came, just a member of the 70, and he asked us to look through the story of Ammon and look at his missionary skills. And I saw that Ammon's one of the things that he did was he went to a place and where there was a different culture, the Lamanites. They're different than the Nephites. They had different skin color, they had different customs, they believed different things. And what Ammon did is he went right up to the king and he said, "I desire to dwell here perhaps until the day I die." Basically saying, "I want to become one of you people. I don't care if I look different. I don't care if I talk different. I want to be around you people. I love you people." And something that I've seen is I go into that building and I say to those people, "Hey, how are you?" in their language. And they go, "Oh, what?" And they say, "Who's teaching you that?" And I said, "My friends." And they say, "You're friends with my people? Absolutely. We teach them the word of God. And we also eat their food." And they go, "Oh, my food? How do you know my food?" "It's because they've given it to me, and I love your food." And in reality, their food is disgusting. I can't handle it. It's so gross. But honestly, I go in there and I eat that food with a big smile on my face, and which is something I never would have been able to do before my mission.
Right.
But I eat it and they absolutely love it. And they take pictures of me and they start videoing me and showing their friends and saying, oh my goodness, look at this American boy. He's like a white Nigerian. He's eating my food. And it's just super funny. And it just makes me think of Ammon. Like, I want to become one of you people. And that is super, super awesome. That's something that I've learned has been so wonderful. It's just learning how to become one with the culture.
What a great lesson.
Yeah, I think a lesson that I've learned spiritually is just to not be slothful. I think like to have that like go, go, go mindset every day. For me, I think before my mission, I was a little lazy and lonesome sometimes. Mm-hmm. And now I'm always doing something. And I think obviously there is some times we need to slow down and take a break and rest a little bit. But I think that after my mission, I want to be go, go, go with that mindset. I want to make sure I'm doing something that will help someone else or to help me, you know?
That's a great goal. That's a great goal. So what is the lesson that you would hope to learn before you come home? What kind of things have you seen that you think, I want to learn that skill or I want to learn that attribute?
Before I come home, I would say that the skill I want to learn how to completely use is how to fully access Jesus Christ's atonement, specifically how to repent every day. I think that that's something that I still struggle with because I've noticed that in an area where it's more fast-paced, I'm more just tired all the time and I'm just trying to focus on other people. And, you know, and I say, when I talk to God at night, it's just like, God, this was a great day, but, and then I'm all of a sudden I'm asleep, you know? And so something that I want to learn is how to become a more spiritual, holy person, how to repent, how to fully access Christ's atonement. Because if I can do that, I know that I'll never fall away from the church. I'll be doing the things that I need to be doing to stay active for the rest of my life.
That's a great message. You know, the people who will be listening to this may be future missionaries, your brothers or sisters, and other family members, as well as maybe even your future children. What message would you say to them?
I would say serve a mission. No matter what, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong serving a mission. There are more important things in life than temporal things. To me, I think the most important thing in life is that you are happy. And if you're happy, you won't care about money. You won't care about the temporal things. If you're happy, you're going to be focused on others. And so to serve a mission, to give up whatever it is, $10,000, to give up 2 years of school, to give up whatever, honestly, is worth it because you're focused on others and it changes you. It helps you become a happier person all the time. One of our recent converts said the reason she was so interested in the gospel was because of how happy we were as missionaries. She thought, what are these two white boys in this hood community doing so happy? And it's because we're sharing the best message in the world with everybody. And so I would just say to serve a mission. That is, and that's what all return missionaries say or all missionaries say, but it's true. It just is so beneficial to your life. It really is like 10 years of experience packed into 2 years. And it's an experience you can't get anywhere else. That's what I would say.
That's great. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. As a servant of the Lord, you have the opportunity to share your testimony many times a day. And I've heard some people say, when a missionary shares their testimony, there's just so much power there. Would you mind sharing your testimony with our listeners today as a servant of the Lord?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I do know that this church and this gospel is true. And I know that it was restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. And the reason I know that is because of the evidence that there is, the tangible evidence that is given, the sacrifice from the saints that they gave because of something they knew was true. A person a person couldn't be that crazy to give up everything to cross a field of ice and frozen snow to come to Utah for just nothing. It had to be because literally their eternal salvation was at stake. There wouldn't be 70,000 youth giving up 2 years to 18 months of their lives because of something false. It's only because it's true. And the Book of Mormon is the evidence of that. The Book of Mormon was a book that had to have come from God. It couldn't have been written by a man. It definitely couldn't have been written by Joseph Smith. Although Joseph Smith, he was amazing, and I really admire him. He definitely could not have written that book. That book was truly a book written by prophets in the Americas. It wasn't false. It's not fake. And there is a promise that if we read it, we can gain a spiritual witness if it's true. And I know that to be true because I've participated in it. I've participated in it several times. And each time that I do, the Spirit whispers to me, "Why are you still asking this? You know it's true." Sometimes I hear the voices of my parents reminding me to read my scriptures. But the Spirit speaks in several ways. Sometimes it speaks to me with good feelings to my heart, with joy. And I know that that joy comes from God. And so that's the thing that I seek for the rest of my life, is to find that joy that comes from God and from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm grateful for Christ's atonement, for his sacrifice, because I know that it can help me become a better me. And I know that it can help everyone become their best selves. After all, that's what Jesus Christ commanded us to do, is to become perfect. And I know that through his atoning sacrifice, I can do just that. And so I know that the mission experience has been key in helping me gain my testimony, and it's all because of him. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that, Elder Jensen. We appreciate it. And we wish you all the luck in your new area. We're sure that you'll be able to do great things out there in the Lakeshore Ward. Thanks for joining us today, Elder Jensen. We've enjoyed visiting with you today.
Thank you so much, Rick. It really was a pleasure and an
Yeah.
experience. I hope to be there soon again.
Yeah, you can call me Dad.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
And we look forward to have you joining us soon in our home, physically in the
Sounds
studio.
good.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining us today, listeners, for the Jensen Journal podcast. We hope you join us again soon. Thank you for listening to the Jensen Journal podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsor, the Hands and Harmony Carolers, as well as our guest. The Jensen Journal podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. Permission to use this podcast is strictly prohibited for any use without permission. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a wonderful day.